And then it got to the point where I had to call my husband and I was like, sorry, like I'm alive. I'm not going to be home for dinner. Can you meet me with a headlamp? Cause it's getting dark. And my goal was to do 31 miles, but then, you know, I got close to 36. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to 40.
You're listening to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. And this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome to the broadcast, to the show, whether you're watching us on Facebook or listening to it on a podcast. My guest today is Sarah Griffith. And do you use your middle name as well, or do you just go by Sarah Griffith?
Sarah Griffith is perfect.
Sarah Griffith. Okay. She is a fat adapted runner that I have run into on Instagram. I follow her on Instagram. If you are on Instagram, I will give you the link at the end of the show so you can get all the goodness that she puts out. She's a fat adapted runner. She is presently living in the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia. And she has a goal this year to run 1,825 miles. So, as you know, if you've listened to the show, this is a virtual trail run. This is called Trail Talk. And so I always try to find interesting people to have conversations with because I enjoy doing it in person, but virtually is fun as well. So join us for this virtual Trail Talk. My guest, Sarah Griffith. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for inviting me. I think we got disconnected for a second.
Yeah, we did. All of a sudden you just froze. And
I'm in Georgia. So
well, you know, it's funny. I've had that happen from Arkansas too, or Central Missouri. Well, I mean,
there's many people on the internet right now too. So it's all over the world, of course.
So anyway, we had started off before I hit record visiting a little bit and that you're working in Georgia. So tell me a little bit about Georgia, the country. Tell a little bit about how you ended up being a runner in this country of Georgia.
Yeah. So it's kind of a long story. I guess it starts from when I got married. I married a wonderful man in the military. We met in Colorado. That's where I'm from. And we've just been on this wild nomadic goose chase. So since 2016, we moved from Colorado to New York City, to Washington, D.C., to Garmisch, Germany, and we're now in Georgia. Georgia, for anybody, if they don't know where the country is located, it borders Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Russia.
Yes.
So, beautiful country. We love it. It reminds me a lot of Colorado. Great mountains, great trails.
Yeah, I've seen your pictures of the mountains, and it looks beautiful.
It's incredible. Great food, great people. We love it. So, I have a great view behind me, but too bad it's the evening, so it's kind of... kind of hard to see. But yeah, you know, I'm pretty new to the sport. I was always active. I played soccer, but I didn't really begin to enjoy running until 2018. I had decided, well, we are moving so much and it's really exciting, but it's also very difficult. So I needed to find something to focus on. So I decided to sign up for this trail marathon in Germany. Had no idea what I was getting myself into, but okay. I planned out everything. I looked up something online on how to train for a marathon.
Okay. That's a lot of people do. That's how they get going.
Yeah. And I kind of approached it. I had been eating like a ketogenic diet and I was kind of adapting more to the low intensity type of endurance. So I wasn't too worried about pace. So I was just going to take it easy and, you know, deal with other pain or injuries that come along with running that we all experience. But it was a rude awakening because I trained for distance, but on flat trails. So when I actually ran the race, I swore I would never do it again. But
so was that your first race then of ever running was a trail marathon?
I had run my first half marathon was in 2009, but I think I've erased it from my mind because it was just a complete abomination. It was horrible. I did not train properly. I didn't have the discipline or really understand what it really takes. So yeah, in 2009, I did that. In 2016 or 17, my husband's family, they compete in the Laurel Highlands Ultra. It's a 70.5 mile run. Okay. They're from that region of Pennsylvania. So we did a relay race. And again, I didn't really train properly for it, but you know, I think it was maybe a 12 or 13 mile distance on the trails, and it was steep. So, so yeah.
Yeah. So your half marathon was on the road. Was that your first experience?
Yes.
Okay. So, but then it was a gap before you got into running again. And then that was on trails.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would run here and there, you know, just at the gym, but it was never really enjoyable. It was more just like trying to get fit.
Yeah. So you said you started the ketogenic diet. Was that separate from running?
Completely separate. Okay. And I actually think it is because of the ketogenic diet. It just led me to eating healthier and eating more whole foods because I felt so good. And then I just changed the way I looked at how I exercised with it and did more research on how, you know, glycogen works versus fat. And just, I had so much energy. I just started running in New York City because you walk all the time and it's like, well, it's quicker to run. So start sightseeing and get to know the city, you know, jogging.
That's cool. So, then your trail race, you ran with your husband's family. So that then you just jump into running trails then from that point?
You know, and that was another tough one. I don't know. I didn't really jump in. So the reason why I decided to sign up for the marathon is we were in New York City and we were moving to Washington, D.C. area, and we're going to live in a hotel for four months.
Oh, wow.
And this was right before we were going to move to Germany. And so it was the dead of winter and I needed something to do. As a coping mechanism or something to focus on some type of goal. And it was the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
So it was winter in Washington, D.C. and did you run outside then?
Yep.
Or was you, okay.
Yep. And it was amazing. You know, when you're first training and every weekend, it's like, I'm running further and further. There's just no better feeling than that.
Yeah.
I became an addict pretty fast.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You trained in Washington, D.C. for a marathon in Germany.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so by the time we got to Germany, I was tapering.
Okay.
So I didn't really explore and we were new and it was a new country. And you know, it takes me some time to get adjusted when we move. So I didn't really think to go hiking. But when I ran the race, my husband was out of the country for work. So I essentially did it by myself. Thankfully he was available virtually to support me because I don't know how I finished that.
So you said you trained on the flat, you'd run trails before, I guess, at the relay race, with your in-laws.
And yeah.
So you had a little bit of experience on a trail.
I did. And the way the Germans do it, you know, they all have the trekking poles, which is really brilliant. I don't know if in the States people do use those as often.
It's like a debate among especially among ultra runners. There's a certain distance at which the purists are like, oh well, yeah, okay, you can use poles. But there's a local coach here in Kansas City that she was pacing a friend of mine at 100 miles in a 100 mile trail race in Iowa. And she was just, every time she came across somebody with poles, she's like, what are they doing? What are they? So she's just very adamant against it. But there are other people who will use them even, you know, for shorter distances. I paced someone last year and she was like, her arms were tired. She goes, hey, hold my trekking poles for a minute. Just try them out. And so I had a little bit of practice and was like, well, you know, I could see how those would help.
They're great. I did the same race a year later when I was pregnant and I had the trekking poles. It was a much different experience. We can get to that later on.
But,
So I learned, I'm a big fan of the trekking poles, especially going downhill if you have bad knees or you need to take it easy. So,
on the technical terrain they do, there's a big advantage to using those, but you didn't your first race. So you were just kind of, what was that like? What were the things
I was maybe one of two people that did not have them. And people saw, I was just, oh, I ran out of water. You know, I have a strategy with my electrolytes and my fuel so that I'm pretty regimented with, but it failed me. I wasn't prepared. I simply wasn't prepared.
But. So you got in the middle of where was that the point that you kind of realized that, oh my, this is not going well.
I was probably about 4,000. So I think there was about 6,500 feet in climb.
Okay.
I was maybe about 4,500 feet up. And I was just, you could hear people with cowbells ringing. And I felt like I just heard them for hours and I could not reach them.
So was it run up the mountain then come back down? Was that the course?
Essentially. Yeah, I suppose so.
It was a loop. It was a loop then.
It was a loop.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so. But. Yeah, what was going through your mind when you were like in that when you were hearing the cowbells and thinking like, when am I going to get there? What were the things that you were telling yourself?
Like, what was I thinking? I'm an idiot. I was being kind of hard on myself. But yeah, it was so scary. I don't know, but I had a lot of emotions. We had just moved there. My husband wasn't there. So it was just kind of like, oh, what did I get myself into? And I got lost going down. So then I had to hike back up and find my way back to the trail. So, mm-hmm. you know, those, it's just those unfortunate circumstances of some races.
trail runners getting lost. That's not hard to do. It happens to everybody. You know,
I finished it and, I did have a friend, a good friend of mine. I got very lucky having her support at the finish line.
That's good. So then you were in Germany. How did you then like run more trails in Germany and keep going?
I lived in Garmisch, Germany. It is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. Just right outside my door, I could leave and have access to hundreds of trails. So I had no problem getting back out and doing, you know, like a 10K or a shorter distance. It was just so beautiful. And I would just, I can't explain it. It was like I was in the Sound of Music. So once I started feeling more confident on the trail, feeling more confident with the area, the addiction came again. And I was thinking, maybe I should sign up for another marathon.
Mm-hmm. So did you, when you finished your marathon, did you say like, okay, you didn't tell yourself, no, I'm not doing, because a lot of ultra runners, you know, they'll finish a race and go, what was I thinking? I'm never doing this again. Or somewhere in their run, usually two-thirds or three-fourths of the way through, your mind is going, you're like, no, I'm never doing this again. So did you have any of that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yes. I was like, never again. I did it. It was kind of traumatizing. And by kind of, I mean, very, but you know, it just took a couple of days and I recovered very quickly because I again attribute that to just my diet and how I eat. But, it was very soon after that I ran a self-supported ultra.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then 3 weeks later, the Athens Marathon. So the way that all kind of worked out is kind of strange. Wow. But
so Athens is a road marathon?
It is.
Okay.
Yes. It was all right.
So yeah. Had okay. I not,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't really believe what you told yourself when you said never again.
No, yeah. Because then I was like, no, I can do it better next time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
So. And I did.
Yeah. So what was the thing that sparked a self-supported ultra? Did you kind of have a goal of like, oh, the marathon wasn't quite as enough of a challenge. I want to do longer.
So after the marathon and after I had assimilated a bit more in this new place, I found like great loops, long loops. And so I felt confident with the elevation change and the trails there. I was like, okay, I'm ready to do this again. I'm ready to tackle it again. So it was I was looking for other races, and that's when I decided to do Athens.
Okay.
Because I'd never done a road marathon. I'd never been to Athens. I could get there pretty easily from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got really excited. I started calculating in my head. I was like, no, I can do an ultra. I need to do an ultra. So I'll use Athens as a training mechanism.
Okay.
And then I'll aim to do an ultra or look for one in December, because the next year my husband and I were thinking about maybe starting a family. So I kind of had a bit of a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ultra came about. I was having a hard time in December in Germany. You know, it's winter time. I couldn't find any that didn't require a lot of travel. And again, I think my husband was going to, that time frame, my husband was going to be away. And it's just a lot to take in, different languages, translating, and it just adds too much stress to what's already kind of a stressful thing. So in any case, I was training, getting ready for Athens, and I was on my favorite loop, and I was like, this is it. I'm doing it. I felt so good. It was a Sunday, and I think I only set out for maybe a 10 miler, but I just kept going and going and going. And Germany, at least where I lived, they have these fresh water wells, so I could fill up my pack.
Okay. Yeah. That was my question. So how would you get water?
Because so I knew where it was. And then it got to the point where I had to call my husband, and I was like, sorry, like, I'm alive. I'm not going to be home for dinner. Can you meet me with a headlamp? Cause it's getting dark. And my goal was to do 31 miles, but then, you know, I got close to 36. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to 40.
Wow. So you really went, I mean, it was like,
I really went. Yeah.
Wasn't just a measly 50K. You just kept on going. That's cool. And it's great to have water along the way. So was it, you said this was a big loop, was, I mean, did you have to like repeat, or were you able to do 40 miles on?
I was able to cover 40 miles within a pretty large distance. There is a lake I would run to, and it was a 4 mile loop. So I did that, I think, 3 times.
Okay.
So that aided in getting some extra mileage.
Yeah, because I know a lot of where we live in Kansas City, there's trails that are loops. And so, I mean, you have to, if you want to get a lot of miles, you do a lot of loops, and they're on you see the same scenery over and over. So that's nice that you have that kind of variety to run for.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And there weren't any aggressive animals. And people were nice. So I felt very safe. So I could really focus and turn off and not have any of those distractions pop up.
Okay. Yeah. And I wondered, you know, I know that here in the United States, they've, you know, well, you came from Colorado, you know, there are animals out there that are bigger and you need to be careful of.
Yeah. They want to eat you. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so I didn't know whether you know, that would be the case in Germany. I know that that there used to be that, but So how long were you in Germany?
We were there 14 months.
Okay.
So yeah, it was pretty great.
So then you went directly there from there to Georgia, or did you have someplace stopping?
Yep. Nope. Directly to Georgia from there.
Okay. So then did you have a chance to run like enter an ultra an official race, or
not yet?
Oh, really? Okay.
So yeah. You know, as I ran the ultra, which I count because it's still an ultra distance.
It's still an ultra distance.
Did the Athens marathon 3 weeks later. And then, I got pregnant, and then I did a few runs. I did 2 races while I was pregnant, and one self marathon.
Okay.
And I was hoping in 2020 that I would be able, my goal, my next thing after that 65K, the 40 miler, I really wanted to do a 100K. That was, that's been on my mind for a couple years. And I was hoping 2020 would be the year, but I ran into a number of challenges postpartum that I didn't expect. So it might be a while, but I'll do it.
Yeah. So you ran a little bit while you were pregnant. I know for some women, that's, I mean, I know a woman who ran almost, I mean, her entire pregnancy, and then she ran 100 mile while she was breastfeeding. You know, she's had to stop at the aid station to breastfeed. Oh, wow. And so
That's great.
Yeah. So I didn't, were you able to run, you know, some while you were pregnant?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had a great pregnancy, uncomplicated. I felt great. So I ran a lot up until the end. The end was difficult. I ran a 10K at 36 weeks pregnant.
Okay.
But I shouldn't have. I think I was about done around 27 weeks is when I should have just stuck to walking.
Yeah. And I know it, every woman is different, you know, with, mm-hmm. with that. And I know some women have, you know, I think that there are strategies that I think that women will use to be able to run, you know, through that.
And yeah. I mean, when you're running that much, I mean, you know, as an ultra runner, it's kind of difficult to stop. And it's not like I had just begun it. You know, I talked to my doctor about this and he was supportive. He just said, you know, Sarah, you have another heartbeat in there. And that stuck with me. And okay. You know, I never push myself too hard. I'm more of the low intensity. I want to enjoy this, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm not overdoing it, which sounds crazy. I'm not overdoing it running 40 miles, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of, you've probably heard of the heart rate training that people talk about, that actually low intensity will give you a better results if you approach it right than a lot of high intensity workouts. And for the average runner, I mean, unless you're trying to be competitive, sticking with low intensity and just going out and having fun. I mean, that's what most of us are, is we're that recreational, let's get out and enjoy nature.
Yeah.
And I know that it's easy. And I know there are people that I've talked to that get hung up and they have a competition. There's a guest I had on she lives in Oregon. And she says that she can't run races because she feels like she has to win. And it just, she goes out and runs for fun, but there's that competitive edge that when she gets into a race, she's like, can't rein it in.
I share that sentiment with her because I want to win, but there's no way I will ever win because I didn't prepare to win. Mm-hmm. I get hard on myself. And so when I have these moments where I'm able to just randomly run, you know, 18 miles on a whim, I just find so much, I feel so much accomplishment with that. And that I don't have, I don't need to sign up for a race to get disciplined to train for some long distance.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And I know there tends to be, I mean, I had with races being canceled this last year, you know, I was geared up and had a training plan, but then the race is canceled. And so there's a natural tendency is like, oh, I can kind of back off. I don't have to push myself. And so it's like, I signed up for another race, you know, coming up this next year so I could get myself back in the groove, mm-hmm. give me mm-hmm. something to motivate. But you said you just go out and run for fun. Keep that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess too, I'm in a different season of life and we're dealing with this pandemic. There haven't been a ton of races available. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure once maybe I'm done with this season and I'm like ready to go again and my body is fully mine, I can sign up for a 100K or any kind of ultra here. There aren't a lot of options here in Georgia. There is a very, very strong trail running group and they have some unofficial races and they are getting some certified official races put together. But the longest distance is, you know, less than a marathon distance.
Okay. Okay.
So, but they're working on it.
Well, I saw in your Instagram, there was one of your photos had a number, on your, stapled or pinned to you. And I thought, well, so you've done some races there, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. They did have, they have the Tbilisi marathon, but it's actually a half marathon.
Okay. Okay.
And then that was from a 10K that I did when I was pregnant. So I don't think, there was another one. Yes. Last summer. I'm like, what is this time? What is time right now?
I know it's hard to put. Well, and then you also, I mean, you have a new baby. And so,
juggling that in a foreign country and with everything, it's a lot, but
yeah. So how were, how soon were you able to run again after your, after you had your baby, and what's that been like as far as trying to balance being a mom and trying to still have time for yourself to run?
So, it took me, I was in great shape. I mean, I was in the gym the day before I gave birth, had a great birth. I was like, my doctor was like, Sarah, you could work out in a week if you want to.
Wow.
I didn't accept that. I waited, and I was so tired anyways, getting adjusted, mm-hmm. you know, to this baby in the house. So at 6 weeks, I got the official clearance, like, okay, it's 6 weeks, you're ready to go. And it took me a long time. I had a lot of pain. And I would like to think I'm a good judgment of pain. I think any ultra marathon runner,
yeah, mm-hmm.
has a good judgment of their body and what's injury versus pain, right?
Right.
And whatever mm-hmm. I was feeling, I did not want to push. So it wasn't until honestly a few months ago that I felt 100%.
Wow.
So it was once I stopped nursing completely that I didn't have any problems. So. Yeah, I didn't expect that. It was tough, very tough on me mentally. I remember celebrating that I could run a 5K without pain.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So just all over pain in your body or just in your legs?
Just like my pelvic region.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It just needed more time. I think it was hormones and my body was just, it changed quite a bit. So.
It's interesting that when you quit nursing, it changed because it sounds like everyone's different. Cause like I told you about my friend, she ran 100 miles and was nursing at the aid stations.
And that's great. And that's encouraging. I have another child, maybe it'll be different, but if not, I'm prepared and I can accept it.
And that's one of the things that I think for us as ultra runners, learning to know what your body does, and that is, and I know, you listen to podcasts and, this is a podcast too. And so, you hear other people's experiences and think I should be like them. And it's just, you have to listen to what you do. And that's tough. That's a real, we tend to compare ourselves to each other. I mean, and that's just a natural human thing. Mm-hmm. And being able to turn that part of your brain off and say, wait a minute, no, I need to understand what's right for me. Mm-hmm. And do what I do for me and, not for anything else. And, that's good that you're able to say, okay, well, that's just the way I am. And you're starting to run again. So that was something to know about your body. How it works.
It gets really, I like running in the wintertime and it gets really hot here in the summer and it's humid and the air quality isn't the best. And there's a lot of stray dogs. There's a lot of interesting challenges in Tbilisi as a runner. So I was in a slump for a while all summer, but I feel like I've got it back.
So you prefer winter then?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Are you a winter runner?
The group that I run with, they call it either team winter or team summer. And, and so I perform better in the winter and, mm-hmm. And I can generate a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. I just started running barefoot last year in 2020. And so, I've been kind of since this winter has come, I've been experimenting about how cold I can run with sandals, mm-hmm. and what that temperature is. And so I can run down to about 30 degrees Fahrenheit in sandals as long as I have, and short sleeves, as long mm-hmm. as I have my legs covered. I generate a lot of heat, but once I stop, I get cold pretty quick. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Now I handle the heat. I can get out in the heat and humidity, but I'm very, very, very slow. I mean, just this last mm-hmm. winter, this last summer, like you talked about the humidity. It was particularly humid here in the middle of the United States. And so there were times when I felt like I should be able to run. It was level. It was, mm-hmm. I was not that far in and my body just was overheating. And I could run 100 yards and had to stop and walk.
I shouldn't complain about humidity when I'm talking to somebody in Kansas City. I can't even imagine.
Well, we have it a lot easier than, you know, people down in Florida. I know a coach, a running coach, and he runs a lot. And, he running at 4 a.m. just because that's the only time that the humidity is, it will allow him to get out and run. So, I just have to make those kinds of adaptations. So So your team winter, what kind of preparations do you make for going outside? Do you have to run in coat and gloves and hat and mittens and insulated or?
I have a great merino wool pullover that I invested in. It was pricey, but it was the best investment because I use it for skiing. I use it for running, and I can wear that with just a t-shirt underneath in even 18 degree Fahrenheit weather. It doesn't get that cold here. It probably gets about 30 degrees here.
Oh, but wow. In Germany, okay. I can
do that. Yeah. Hat, gloves, but usually I don't need gloves for too long. But it does get very windy. It gets very windy here.
And that makes a big difference. I mean, we've had some wind here this winter, and we've had a rather mild winter. I don't think it's gotten down into the 20s. Mm-hmm. But it's been 30s and 40s for most of, but we've had wind. And so at 30 degrees with or even 25 with a strong wind, it'll blow right through you. Blowing through your clothes. So, it still sounds like you dress fairly light for the cold.
I think so. I mean, it's obviously cold at first, but I generate a lot of heat as well. So it's easier to warm up than for me cool off. I'm just miserable if I'm too hot.
So do you then have to peel layers off as you go?
If, no, you know, usually I'll just kind of suck it up because it'll take more energy, but I feel like right now I have a good layering system. I could maybe find some better leggings or socks, but it's just so different. And I've been running on the roads recently. I'm training with two friends who just moved into my neighborhood who we're training. We're going to try to do an ultra at the end of February.
At the end of February. Okay.
Yeah. We ran 16 miles today. It was great. We all probably could have gone longer. So I'm pretty confident that we can get a few more long runs in and go for it. But it's not too cold. 30 degrees is manageable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always have to, I was trying to think about layers that I can take off because I'll have, and I found arm sleeves. And so, I typically will put arm sleeves on to kind of keep, you know, it's not much, but it's enough to, it keeps the cold out, and then I end up pulling them off.
Yeah, those are good. Those are helpful. I do have a pair of those I'd use in Germany, like in the fall. Mm-hmm. If I was going on a long run where the temperature would drastically change within, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Yeah. And that there are places where that happens. I mean, you have that in Colorado too. And storm can blow in and temperature can drop. And so, it's, you don't want to be too far out with, without protection.
Exactly.
Some sort of protection. Cause it can be miserable.
But, yep.
Well, you said, you mentioned kind of briefly that you had, after your baby, that was more than just physical, was, physical things going on, or was it just your body not doing well?
It was mostly physical. So then that, affected my mentality towards it all. And I was getting frustrated, and then it was hot and I was tired. I was a new mom.
Right. You weren't sleeping the kind of, hours that you wanted.
I wasn't sleeping at all. And my husband's so supportive with everything, but I would wake up really early, like at 4:30 in the morning when I'd been up all night to pump so that I could comfortably run. Mm-hmm. And my husband could feed the baby when she woke up. And then the runs, there's like a little running group we have here, and it was so difficult. I was in a lot of pain and I was exhausted, but so I stopped. I gave myself a break for a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will try to push through that kind of thing and end up miserable. And, it's better to take a break, especially to just give your body time to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you said you had a goal, you have a goal of 1,825 miles this year. So where did that number come from? It just, that's an unusual number. I'm like, there's got to be something more of it.
So behind the reason that came about, and it's, the goal is walking, hiking, and running.
Well, so, at ultra runners, we count walking. I mean, it's like, walking still counts if you run at all. It still counts if you walk.
It still counts. Yeah. It's still distance. So in December, you know, here in Georgia, the COVID situation got really bad. And all of us.
Oh, we lost a.
So my friends and I decided we needed to do something to just kind of stay healthy and stay healthy through the holidays. So we were doing like a 10,000 step a day challenge every day through December. And I ended up investing in a treadmill because I was worried that if we got locked down or something, I couldn't leave the house. I needed that. So it just kind of got me back into getting mileage again, even if it was just walking. It's 5 miles a day. So that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can keep doing this. I can do this if I get pregnant. I could do this if something else happens. I can walk 5 miles a day for a year. That should be fine. I just did it for a month. I'm just going to continue this on. So that's where that number comes from. So 10,000 steps a day is about 5 miles.
Okay. Okay.
So that mileage is 5 miles a day.
Okay. Okay. That's because I wondered how that's an odd number. I mean, last year, since it was an even number, for the decade, there were people who were going to run 2020 miles for 2020. And there was a couple of people I knew who I think actually did that. So it was interesting that 1825, I wasn't sure the significance for it of that.
Yeah.
So that's called a run streak. So is that something you're planning to do every day, or will you try to do more some days than others and take breaks?
Yeah. It's kind of budgeted out. So like today I have 34,000 steps already. So if tomorrow I'm busy at work or something and I can't get more than 9,000, then it's no big deal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And especially you'd go over some days training for an ultra, you would have days it would be more than 5 miles.
There are
runners that I've followed and I've talked to. A friend of mine has been on a run streak. He's run at least a mile every day for the last 5 years.
Wow.
So they call it streaking. But I ask him, I said, what happens if you're not feeling well? He goes, I go out and run. so for some people, it is a way to stay consistent. And so that they're always out there. It's like, they don't have to rely on motivation. It's like, okay, I'm going to go do a run. I'm going to run however far I can feel like going.
Yeah. It just becomes kind of a part of you.
Right. But you're not on a streak. You're just doing it for the total miles.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, you said you're looking at 100K. Do you have one planned?
No, we're kind of stuck here right now. And if we do any travel, we need to get home. I haven't seen my family in almost 2 years because of this whole, we've moved from Germany and I still need to get my daughter home. She hasn't been back home yet. She was born here. So
the grandparents have only seen her on video.
Yeah. Some grandparents thankfully made it out here right before the pandemic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that we're very lucky with that, but we're waiting to find the right time to fly home.
Is that like the international ban on travel
we can travel.
You can still travel.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. It's just navigating everybody's. We have our families spread out in different states, and so it's just I don't know how comfortable I am with planes and how everybody else feels, and it's hard on a lot of people right now.
Yeah, it is, and different airlines have different. And I'm not sure how it is in Europe, but in United States Airlines, there's just not any consistency about what they do, and we've been trying to get to Hawaii, and Hawaii has had so many restrictions. We're scheduled to go next a year from now, basically a year from now.
Okay.
But we had to cancel this year. We had it scheduled for this year. Like we're supposed to be there like now, but it's, they're so restrictive that we would have probably ended up just going there and sitting in a hotel room. And I was like, okay, I don't need to spend that much time and money to just sit in a hotel room and not be able to do anything.
So. Exactly. Exactly. And that's how we feel. We don't want to fly all the way over there can't take so much time off work, mm-hmm. To quarantine for 2 weeks to see one parent and then you move, So it is what it is.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard.
I'm grateful for technology. If it weren't for video chats, I'm so utterly grateful for that.
Right. So you said the country was hit hard. What kind of restrictions did you have as far as, you said you bought a treadmill, but did they shut down that you couldn't go out at all? Or were you able to go out some?
So initially the pandemic here was fine. Like we were the best in the world for a while because mm-hmm. the government imposed very strict restrictions when nobody knew a lot yet.
Right. And that was
bad. And
worldwide,
it was like,
that was that way. Yeah.
Right. And when it was really bad, like in New York and in the United States, we were only having 5 cases a day in the country.
Okay.
But we had a somewhat norm, but things were still locked down in April. So you could go to the grocery store, but they had curfews. There was a couple weeks where there was a driving ban. So you couldn't drive anywhere.
Wow.
And then I think they started opening up borders with the Baltics and to Estonia and Latvia. And once that started happening and they had tourists come, it started getting out of control. And then we got to be, our numbers were so high that they had to shut everything down again. So everything's been shut down. Everything but grocery stores have been shut down since November, and they're not going to open. We don't know when they're going to open again.
Wow. Wow. So everything except grocery stores, that's pretty restrictive. And my video on this thing just froze again. So
there we go.
Yeah.
I'll just stop.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those. Well, yeah, it's for being as far apart as we are, we've had a pretty good connection so far.
Yeah.
So that's pretty restrictive. Just, only grocery stores. Anything else like pharmacies or.
Pharmacies, like the essential, the pharmacies, vets.
But no clothes shopping, mm-hmm. I don't imagine bars and restaurants as well.
Yeah,
shut down. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Schools are still closed. So, yeah. But I'm just grateful I enjoy the outdoors.
Yes.
Because I can't imagine I didn't, people stuck at home. So,
but so you're still able to get out of the house and move around if you're.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can go out and walk and just stay distant from others.
Yeah. And there's actually a pretty good trail system very close to my house.
Okay.
It's mostly cattle trails, but you can adapt them for running and they're fine. So that's pretty fun. I've been enjoying that.
That's interesting. So are there, it's not open range. I imagine you have to go in and are there cattle around when you run then?
Yeah, there's cattle everything, a lot of livestock. There are a handful of packs of stray dogs, which can be little intimidating and frightening. I run with my dog, and so she will attract other dogs, which attracts, can be mm-hmm. sort of dangerous. But at least, I'm
so. How do you protect yourself? I mean, in the United States, we don't have. I mean, it's not so much like that. You'll have maybe one or two together, run together. But what do you do with a pack of dogs?
I'm still trying to master the art of handling it. I don't handle it well. I freak out and I run the other direction. I just run away and I try to run up the hill out of their territory, because if it's a one or two, it's probably okay. And thankfully there was a run. I was with 3 other ladies when we got chased by not one, but 2 packs of dogs. And I think each pack had about 4 or 5.
Wow.
And
okay.
That's scary. I mean, it's not comfortable. Situation to be in.
Yeah. And it is very dangerous. I mean, the dogs in a pack are like teenagers in a pack.
Yeah, if you're in their territory, generally most of the dogs here are fine. They do have animal control services and they'll, I think I'm not sure exactly what they do. I can't speak to it, but I know that they pick some up and they'll maybe vaccinate them, fix them, and they put a little pin in their ear to show that. So that makes me feel a bit more comfortable with them. But if they're a nuisance or they're aggressive and somebody reports it, they'll relocate them. I don't know where they go, but there's always new ones. I was running last weekend downtown with a friend early in the morning and we got bit by one.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was fine. But it's just, it's me and I need to learn how to handle it better because they can sense, those animals can sense your fear.
Right.
So that's something I'm trying to work on, but it's never easy whenever.
So you carry anything? They make like postal employees here in the United States will carry it's some sort of chemical. It doesn't harm them. It just makes them go away.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of something like that?
I have. One of the runners, she'll carry like a zapper that makes a really loud noise.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the dogs don't react to that. So, but I think something like a spray would be good. I need to find something that could, I won't be able to find it locally here, but perhaps on Amazon and I have to wait, you know, but.
So how long does it take to get stuff from Amazon? I mean.
So before COVID, it would take a couple weeks.
Wow. Okay.
Which is pretty good. But now, I mean, there's stuff I ordered, like my Christmas cards never arrived. You know? Oh, no. Like, those in November. So it really kind of varies. And obviously the flights have changed and availability is changing because of the pandemic. So yeah, but I really should just get the order in now and find something. And I think that'll empower me, make me feel a little bit more comfortable knowing I have it.
Yeah. When I was a cyclist for a while and I had, and it was just about this big and with a little clip on it. And I never had to use it until just, I carried it with me. And then it was a couple of years ago, I was riding gravel roads and it's out in the country. So no, the dogs aren't chained up or fenced in. There was no leash laws out there and they came running out and
they love bicycles. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's scary.
And so I stopped and they were still, you know, they came across the ditch and were coming at me. And I didn't hit them. I mean, just I sprayed it and missed, but it smelled enough that I think that it stopped them. So
that's good. I'll have to take a look.
So yeah, I know I think it just has some sort of, it has red pepper in it or something. And so and dogs' noses are very sensitive. So yeah, that would be if there were more than one or two dogs, especially, because you can kind of stand off. I mean, a dog, we have the place where I run, there are a lot of walkers. There's the park has a law that says dogs have to be on a leash. No one does it. And so all the dogs are loose and, you know, the small dogs or big dogs. And so the dog will be ahead of the person who's hiking and I'll encounter the dog first. And it's one of those things. It's like, I don't run up. I always stop, turn to the side, you know, all of the body language things that you do, because dogs are very protective of their owners. And, I was walking down the sidewalk one time and was bit by a dog that a woman was holding it on the leash. And I don't know what happened. The dog must have sensed that I was a threat. Or she thought I was a threat and the dog picked up on her uneasiness about me. I mean, and all of a sudden the dog just, as soon as I got close enough, the dog lunged and bit me. And so, it's one of those things. And so I don't trust, you know, the owners will say, oh yeah, they're fine. You know, they won't bite. I'm like, I don't believe the owner because.
Yeah, you just don't know.
You never know. And the, you know, the dog is on a different, you know, their perception of what's going on is different than what the owners are.
Yeah.
And so I always try to at first is to let the dog know that I'm not a threat to the dog or to the owner. But some dogs will still, you know, usually though, if you're not moving and stand your ground, the dogs will leave you alone. But you say you run with a dog, so that is a whole other dynamic to it.
Yeah, Yeah. And I figured out where I should and shouldn't run. And when we all ran in a group, we went where I know I shouldn't run. So it's okay.
Well, you're with a group and where you shouldn't run. Is that like for, because of the dogs or because of other threats?
Because I kind of knew there were some dogs, or it just seemed like an area I wasn't willing to go by myself. But there was a group of us, and another friend of mine who runs the trails often by herself, she has a dog. So I felt comfortable in a group setting. I was like, okay, why don't we, because we're slowly trying to expand our distance. I was like, why don't you show me where you go, and then we can connect it to where I go, and we can do all these loops and have fun. But yeah, it was
Well, and when you run as a group, are you pretty much the same pace, or do you get spread out?
So three of the four of us were about the same.
Okay.
And one is an exceptionally elite runner. She's incredible. So, but she's up for run. She's up for running at our pace.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So we have a good time. She's more of a road runner. So she's new to the trails.
Okay.
But I think she appreciates the community and that we can run together and explore. So it's nice.
Yeah. That's usually with trail running. If you want to run together, that you have to kind of slow down to the pace of the slowest runner. And that's for a lot of times that's me.
Okay. We're back.
But you were back. Yeah. So yeah.
It's my end. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's a huge thing for me in the trails. Like, I'm not going to be separating. If I'm running with somebody, I'm running with that person. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to tell somebody if they're going too fast. And I'll give them the option. If you want to go ahead, please. But for me personally, I will never go ahead of somebody else.
Yeah. And usually I'm the slowest runner. I mean, I don't have a very fast pace, and I'm fine with that. And so, but you know, there are people that I run with that are slower than me. And so you just set the pace, run what's comfortable for you. And I'll just hang out back here. And then other times, I mean, I did a run for my birthday and had somebody came and ran 10 miles with me, and she just stayed with me, and we had this great conversation, and she's a strong runner. I mean, she could have run off and left me anytime, but that for me, that was the greatest birthday gift, was to have this friend run with me for 3 hours on the trail, and just great conversation. So I love the community of trail runners. So are the trail runners in your community there? Are they people from the US, or are they people from Georgia as well?
It's mixed. It's people from Georgia, people from Russia, expats from everywhere. I've unfortunately just haven't really joined them in much activity. I think a lot of it's, again, I have a small daughter, and you know, if I'm going to go hang out with that community, I want to go and have beers after. I want to go and hang out after, you know. So,
and there's no place to have beers. all the restaurants are shut down.
That's true. But,
our running group,
a big community.
Yeah, our running group has, we used to have an official Thursday night. We called it Beer Appreciation Run. And so we would all bring beer and show up, and it was, we'd post it on Facebook, because it's, but then the pandemic, everybody shut down. And so we can't officially say we're meeting, but everyone shows up, and we're, it's like one of those things. You just and when people ask online, it's like, no, we're not officially doing it, but messages.
I know. Yeah. It's hard. Are there restrictions on gatherings with numbers of people for you?
There were in through for the summer. And I can't remember, there was 12, and it changed. And it depended on county, depended on the city, state, each had their own. Yeah. So the state could have one number, and your county have another number, and your city have a different number. But it was, most of the time we ignored that. There were times that it was, there were times when we didn't run, when it was like restricted to 12 people, but we're kind of like, we'll all show up and as long as you don't plan it ahead, you know, we'll show up and hang out. And most of the time people, you know, when it was really severe, we were pretty good about social distancing. But you know, others, you know, we've had people who've been through the COVID. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we were pretty laid back about the group. And
it's your bubble, you know.
Yeah, it's our bubble. Yeah.
And, sure.
But yeah, and I ended up with COVID right at the first of the year. Got it mm-hmm. from my mom. She doesn't mm-hmm. know where she got it from. She's 83 and her symptoms were very, very mild. Mine were very mild. But it's one of those things that it affects everyone differently.
Yeah. It's just such a huge mystery, you know?
Yeah.
I think the best thing we can do is keep running and stay healthy and keeping our mind clear. And that's really the.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those, well, vitamin D is, you know, getting out and getting sunshine that's been a huge, for any kind of virus, you know, vitamin mm-hmm. D has been kind of a thing. There was a study done in Norway, that when they have so much, lack of sun that mm-hmm. they noticed that this is back before COVID, you know, they actually instituted, I read, vitamin D for everyone. You know, it was kind of a recommendation from the country is that they would supplement with vitamin D, and their flu and colds, their incidence of flu and colds went down.
Oh, like during the winter time,
during the time they had no sun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, so yeah, it was interesting. So that's one of the things I've done to kind of keep my nutrition. So do you said, you're still fat adapted.
Yeah, I mean,
is that something, what's that kind of your, what is that kind of lifestyle on an ongoing basis for you?
You know, I've been doing it so long. I think my threshold, so obviously I became fat adapted by eating, you know, a ketogenic diet, like mm-hmm. really restricting carbs and eating more fat and using fat as fuel and relying on my own fat stores. But after I got pregnant and had my child, I did start eating more carbs, but I noticed like I could, and I was mm-hmm. still able to, you know, I intermittent fast. I'm able to go hours without anything and still perform.
Even if you've eaten carbs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like today, you know, I did, it's just, it doesn't, because I run at such a low heart, low intensity, it's just less complicated. I don't have to eat. I just need electrolytes. Of course I pack food just in case, you never mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. but, that's why I like it. So I don't bonk. I can use whatever carbs I have in my system and then they'll burn out. And then my body just knows the switch and it's really no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were doing, well, you've not done an official ultra. What will be your nutrition plan then when you're running ultra? Will you try to do fats or try to do?
It depends on if you're flat, I would probably just keep fats with me. But if there's a lot of climb, I would certainly have some carbs. I like the Stinger waffles. Those are good. Mm-hmm. And I like almond butter. I carry salt, but I, no matter what, I have to have electrolytes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a big deal.
I've trained myself that, you know, every hour I have these bottles I have in a vest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I need to have like basically a scoop an hour.
Okay. So what do you use for electrolytes?
I used to really like Go Ultima. I think that's a great one. I really enjoy it, but I've been using Key Nutrients.
Okay.
Recently. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's no sugar in them. They're good.
So besides salt, it's salt, magnesium, potassium.
Yeah, salt, magnesium. It has some other minerals. It has like vitamin C. I should look at it, but it's the Go Ultima is, yeah, sodium, magnesium.
So it has some of the vitamins, some vitamins as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And here in Georgia, oh man, this place is amazing. I'm telling you, they have natural mineral waters.
Oh, wow.
10, 12 different brands and different towns produce them. So I try to drink them throughout the week. They're delicious. This is like a runner's paradise. So.
Well, I that was not something that was on my list, but after talking with you, I'm like, well, maybe that would be someplace to come and visit, put on my bucket list to come and visit.
It is a cool place. This place is amazing. I would absolutely recommend it.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, real quick, what you said you hadn't settled on 100K. Do you have a race that you've kind of would be your dream race?
Oh, yes. The Zugspitz Ultra Trail 100K. It's so the Zugspitz is the highest peak in Germany. That's okay. In Garmisch, where we lived. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the trail series that I ran. So they had five different distances available.
Okay.
So yeah, that is my dream race, but it would take me 24 hours.
Okay.
It would be tough.
Is a 24 hour cutoff? Is that what?
It is. Yeah. I think it has like 17,000 feet in elevation change, like gain.
Wow.
So
wow. Yeah.
The last year it was, this year, 2020 was canceled. The year before, inclement weather came through and they canceled it. So I was kind of like, okay, because I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this could have been the year, you know, but it got canceled anyway. So I'm like, yes, I felt bad. But.
Well, I mean, and that would have been given you bragging rights. It's like I did that when I was pregnant.
Oh, no, gosh. Yeah, no way. I did the 25K.
The 25. Okay.
Yeah. And it was fine. I was well-trained at that point. So it was a year later from the terrible experience and I went back and it was great. Here we go. Yeah, I have it in my phone and I'm using data now.
Oh. Well, okay. And I figured I try to keep these conversations to about an hour. So, So I wanted to at least say goodbye before.
Yeah. Before yeah. Sorry for the internet connection.
Oh, well, no, this has gone smoother than I expected. Yeah. Just because, you know, being international, I knew that there's a lot of things that can happen between here and Georgia. So.
That's right.
So yeah. Anything else about the 100K that's your dream race? Anything, any more details on that you wanted to add?
No, I just, you know, it's something I think about when I run and it's something I want to work towards, and whether it's that 100K or if it's one I decide to just do on my own, it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Not sure when, you know, we're still looking at growing our family. So that might take another 2 years out, <Yeah. laughs> but I have the rest of my life. And this is a sport that I foresee doing for the rest of my life. It's just, I love it. There's nothing like it. And it's taught me that I can do anything with enough time and discipline, and I can do it. Hard work. So
yes, yes. Well, and I wish you well for that. Now, so for people who, if they want to connect with you, I know you're active on Instagram. Do you have others? And that's I think the only place I connect with you is on Instagram. Do you have other social media that you do, or you just pretty much stay on Instagram?
Yeah, pretty much just Instagram. That's okay. Probably the best one there.
And that's my favorite platform as well. I've got stuff on Facebook. And in fact, I used to do these conversations as a Facebook Live. I like Instagram. And so I will, what I'll do is, if it's okay, I'll link your
sure.
Instagram handle there. And so people can follow you. And you just kind of offer inspiration. I know you've kind of told your story on Instagram, and it's just, I appreciate the inspiration that you give, and just because of who you are, I think. And so
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for this. So for those, this will be on, I'll take the video and put on on my Facebook page, and then also the audio on the podcast. So you may have some people who will hear this and start following you. Be glad to recommend you for anybody who's a runner and looking for inspiration. And the pictures of Georgia are beautiful. I mean, it's just like, I love listening to the pictures that you have.
Yeah.
And Thank you a lot for being with me, Sarah. I always enjoy getting to meet new trail runners. And if you and your family ever come through Kansas City, look me up and we'll show you some barbecue.
I would love that. And you know, if things calm down and we're here for another year and a half. So
wow, okay.
Some great trails here in Georgia. Welcome anytime.
That's cool. I appreciate that. That's great. Thanks again. And have a good rest of the evening.
Thank you, Eric. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. And don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.